We're going to discuss a sugya tonight that has potentially very many ramifications in halacha. It's really a subcategory of what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks about the limitations of what Chazal can do or cannot do in terms of a quote-unquote change in the din of Torah. And the question becomes, what precise is the authority of Chazal, specifically in the area of Gittin and Kedushin? So one would have expected, in an area as serious as Chomer, as Gittin and Kedushin, one would have expected the Chazal a very, very little authority to quote-unquote change the din of Torah. And yet we find that there's a very unique dimension within Gittin and Kedushin that gives Chazal a surprising degree of authority within this most basic area of halacha. So the Gemara in the first of the Mamakomos continues in Yevamos of Tzadim and Beis. It's really a continuation of the sugya that we have been learning for the last couple of weeks. And the Gemara is addressing the question whether Yesh Koch Yachacham Lachodav Ben Torah. Do Chacham have the ability to uproot a din of the Torah, to contradict the din of the Torah in a sense? Does the Torah give them the leeway to tell us to violate Isurim? So the Gemara drew the famous distinction that we spoke about many times between Shevel Tasa versus Kumbaseh. That in the realm of being passive, namely, don't blow shofar on Shabbos, or don't shake wool on Shabbos, or don't wet fill on the Yat of Shein Shagolios, where the Chachamim are not telling us to actively do something wrong, but they're just merely telling us to sit back and not perform a mitzvah, that they do have the authority, that's clear. But in the realm of Kumbaseh, to tell you to drive your car on Shabbos, or to eat Reif, or something like that, that the Chum has absolutely no authority to do. So if all the Chum in the world would get together and tell you to drive your car on Shabbos, you're still not allowed to listen to them, because Ein Kof Ben Chum Lach Adov Ben Torah Kumbaseh. So comes the Gemara Yevamos in questions, whether that's really true. But in order to understand the question, we need a little bit of a background. The Gemara is referring to a sugya that is primarily a sugya in the fourth parak of Maseches Gittin. The Mishnah in the fourth parak of Gittin tells us that, technically speaking, a person can appoint a shaliach to divorce his wife. So he doesn't want to bother to bring the get to his wife. So he'll appoint an agent, appoint a representative to bring the get. Now we know that the get must be given ritzon habal. The get only takes effect once the shaliach hands it over to the woman. So in theory, up until that point, the husband can change his mind. So what can happen is, in theory, the following scenario, that the husband decides he wants to divorce his wife. So he hires a shaliach, says, go bring the get, travel from America to Israel, go bring the get. So the shaliach's traveling, and the husband has second thoughts. So the husband says, okay, I'm about to the shaliach, so I don't want the shaliach to bring the get anymore. Now the problem is, that in the olden days, how's the shaliach ever going to find it out? How's the woman ever going to find out? So here the shaliach comes with the signed, sealed, delivered get, presents it, honestly, naively thinking that he's still the shaliach, and he gives it to the woman. The woman accepts the get, and everybody is sincere in what they're doing, and it ends up that this woman is now an ashes ish because the husband backed out from the get, and the husband rescinded his shlichus. So once the husband is about to the shlichus, technically speaking, the shlichus is batel. But the problem is the shlich doesn't know about it. The woman doesn't know about it. So therefore, the chachamim made a takana that you're not supposed to do that. The only way, you're only allowed to be mevatel a get b'fnei shlich or b'fnei isha. You must tell the shlich you're being mevatel. You must tell the woman that you're being mevatel a get. Otherwise, it could lead to a terrible mikshol. So the Gemara raises the question, what if the husband didn't keep this takana sacham? The husband didn't follow what the chacham told him to do. He went ahead and was mevatel to get shalom b'fnei shaliach. So now what happens? So the Gemara says, Tashma, the first of the Ramakamos, Tashma ditlo mevutel divi Rebbe. So Rebbe says that if Lamaisa, the husband, did something wrong, he went ahead and violated the takana sacham and was mevatel to get shalom b'fnei shaliach, Lamaisa, the get is batel. The bottom line is the woman can't be married. The bottom line is the get is really batel. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says no. But once the Chachamim said that you're not allowed to be mevatel the get, shalom b'fnei shaliach, so then if you do it, the bittel is batel. Whatever you did is null and void. And came akar beis and yofek, because otherwise, what kind of authority did Chacham have? The Chacham told you not to do it, so I didn't listen to them. So then, if Rebbe is right that the Di'evit to get his bottles, then the whole Tachan of the Chacham was null and void. So therefore, Bishulim Gamliel says that the Chacham was misakin, that the get is still kayim. So yes, the Gemara, what? The get is still kayim? For ha'hocha the midiraisa bottle get, minat Torah, everybody agrees that the husband still has the authority to be mevatel the get, even though he didn't tell the shaliach. So, minat Torah, this get is a worthless piece of paper. Once the husband declared that he doesn't want to use it anymore, so it lost its status as a get. When the shaliach goes a week later and gives it to the woman, he's giving her a blank piece of paper. By Rabbi Shimon Gamliel declaring that the get is still chayav, he's in effect telling an eishes ish to remarry, because min haTorah the get is possible. So the woman's still an eishes ish. Mid the Rabbanon, we're going to take a get that's possible and say it's kosher. That doesn't make any sense. How can we do that? So says the Gemara, that seems to indicate that the Chum have the ability to tell you to violate Yisurim, which is clearly not the case, which is what we've been assuming for the last couple of weeks. So it says the Gemara now, that somehow in the realm of Gittin and Kedushin, everything is different. Why? Man de Mekadesh, Adaita de Rabbanan Mekadesh, Rafkinu Rabbanan Kedushin. So says the Gemara, that in the realm of Kedushin, Kedushin is always done al das de Chachamim. Whatever the Chacham agree to, then the woman is Mekudesh. Yes, and if the Chacham don't agree to it, then the woman is not Mekudesh. So we don't yet know why that's true, but that's what the Gemara is, that's the statement of the Gemara. What we call Afki'inu. The Chacham have the ability to, in a sense, revoke Kedushin. So comes the Gemara and says, when you give a get to a woman, even though the get is not really good min haTorah, because min haTorah, you already mevatel it. So min haTorah, it's not Ratzon HaBa'al. Mid the Rabbanon, we're going to declare it's good. What do you mean we're going to declare it's good? What we're going to declare is that the original Kedushin was never valid. We're going to say, you thought you were married for the last 50 years. No, you were never married. We have the ability to be mafkir the Kedushin. So the Chachamim can take a posel get and declare it to be kosher. That's impossible. What the Chachamim can do is they can say, if you give a get that meets our standards, even though it didn't meet the Torah standards, it doesn't matter, that's good enough, because we're going to go ahead with the power of Afkinu and uproot your original Kedushin. So the Gemara says, why? How does that work? So the Gemara says, Amar Ravina Rav Ashi, Haterech B'Kadosh B'Kasba, Kadosh B'Biyah Ma'ika L'Meimah. So Ravina asks Rav Ashi, I understand if the person was Mekadosh, a woman with Kesef, if he originally gave her a ring, I understand how the Chacham can uproot that Kedushin. Why? So the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that they can invoke the principle we spoke about in the previous year called Hefke Bezen Hefke. Bezen in the realm of Mammonus has a lot of authority. They can declare that my property doesn't belong to me. So one of the rules of Kedushin is the ring has to belong to the husband. That's one of the questions that the Masada Kedushin is supposed to ask the Eidim. He's supposed to ask the Chassan, does the ring belong to you? He asked the Eidim, was it worth the Shema Pruta? So if the Bezen will declare retroactively that the ring never belonged to the Chassan, we were mafkir it. So it turns out they were never married in the first place, and they were never married, and she's not an Eishes Ish. So what a roundabout way to be mafkir an Eishes Ish. You have this woman who, min haTorah, she's been married for 30 years. Min haTorah gives her a get, and then he's mevatel the get. Shlomo Fnei Shalia. So the get is both of min haTorah. She's still an Eishes Ish. So we say no. But the Rabbanan, we're gonna make her into Eis and Eishes Ish. By doing what? Not by giving her a get. The get is both of them. We're gonna make her no longer an Eishes Ish by being mafkir the original condition. So Ravina says, we can pull off that stunt by Kedusha Kesef. But Kedush Bia Maik Lameva, what do you do about Kedusha Bia? One of the methods of Kedusha is Kedusha Bia. What are you going to be mafkir exactly? So how are you going to declare that Kedusha Bia retroactively is no good? So says the Gemara, we can do that also. Shavyur Rabbanon B'Lasa B'Lasanus. The Chachamim can declare that the original Bia that was done was never really done the same Kedusha. If a man and a woman stop a Bia together, that's not Kedusha Bia. It has to be done al das kedushin. So the Chacham have a right to declare that that original bia that you thought was l'shem kedushin, there, it was never real l'shem kedushin. It was only a bila's nus. Why is that? So that's what many of the Rishonim say, because we assume that when a person is getting married, so they want to get married according to the way the Chachamim want, the way the Shulchan Aruch approves it, the way the Chacham accept. So if the Chacham say we don't accept this kedushin, so then the person says, okay, so we're not getting married. The kedushin should be kedas Moshev Yisrael. If it's not kedas Moshev Yisrael, if it's not the way the Halacha approves of, then it's not going to be a kedushin. So at first the Gemara thought that we can only be mafkia kedusha kesef, because kedusha kesef can be undone through hefker beis and hefker. Then the Gemara concludes now that we can even undo kedusha bia, because kedusha bia, even though there's no kesef to be mafkia, but it's ki'ilu the person was mekadesh ala tnai that the Chacham would accept it, and if the Chacham say they don't accept it, so then taka the condition wasn't chal. That's why we take the skip down to the third of the Ramakamas, where Tosfos in Gittin Daf Lamed Gimel points out that it's based on this idea that a person is Mekadosh and Isha al Das the Chachamim. Kol Mekadosh Adaita the Rabbanu Mekadosh L'Kach Oyvim B'Shas Kedushin Kedas Moshev Yisrael. Why do we say that phrase Kedas Moshev Yisrael? Person gives a ring to him and says, "I'm Kedash Li." Of course, it's Kedas Moshev Yisrael. Well, what other religion is it? So, why the point to say Kedas Moshev Yisrael? So, Kedas Moshev Yisrael is highlighting the fact that the Kedushin are Tluim Omdin. Every time a couple gets married, it's only on the condition that the Chum approve of it. If the Chum disapprove of it, then the whole Kedushin is going to be Batalum Ravutum. So, the bottom line is the Gemara has this principle now that works Min HaTorah called Afkas Kedushin. By Kedusha Kesef, it could work based on Hefker Beis and Hefker. By Kedusha B, it works on the idea of like a Kedusha Olat Tanai.
How could you ever be Mechayev of all Ishes Ish If there's a possibility that someone's going to come along at some point
to get that feeling. Oh, excellent. Very good, very good. So Taisa Sakasha. Taisa Sakasha is giving us the Kasha. Taisa has a second half of the Kasha. Taisa says that we can be Mitar or Mamzerim. Yechol Mamzerim Mitar. Every time you have a Mamzer from an Eshes Ish, no problem. Have the husband give her a get now. Be involved in the get Shlomo from Eshaliach. And then we'll have to declare that the condition was Batal. The condition was Batal. The kid's never Mamzer. So Taisa tries to explain why the Chachamim don't let you use these tricks if you're trying to use them as a trick. So Taisa says that in the Chinami, that if it would happen by itself, so then we would have to declare the condition to be Muslim or Freya. But the Chavim didn't build into the system, this Mishigas, that you can pull these stunts to be able to be Mavatal condition. So this Chiluk that the Gemara suggested and ultimately rejected between Kedusha Ketzah versus Kedusha Bia, most of the Rishonim learned that the Gemara's Havamina, the split between the two was that Kesef, I understand, can become Batal because of Hefker Beis and Hefker. Bia was a little bit more problematic. But Rashi quotes Hipshat, the second of the Mamakamas, Hipshat that he absolutely, completely rejects, and we don't accept at all. But Rashi quotes the following possibility. Ista Amri. There are some who say, who had a rather unique pshat in the Gemara. We take a look at the second of the Ramakamos, at the end of the first line. The Isti Amri, there are some who explain, Teinach Kaddish Bekasba, the Kedusha Kesef Derabbanan, Kaddish Bebiya, the Kedusha Mederaisa, Dinu Michael Amemer. So there are some who learned that the Havamina Maskana of the Gemara was as follows. I understand that the person is Makadish and Isha Bekesef, how the Chacham can be Mafkiya, the Kedushin, because Kedusha Kesef is only Mederabbanan. Because it doesn't say it in the Chumash explicitly. It says, Kika Chishisha Uva Allah. It only uses the Lashon of Kedusha Diyah. Kedusha Kesef doesn't say explicitly. So there were some who wanted to argue, maybe Kedusha Kesef is only Midrabbanan. If Kedusha Kesef is only Midrabbanan, then I understand why the Chum can be Mafkiya conditioned the Rabbanan. But the Gemara didn't understand how the Chum can be Mafkiya conditioned the Araisa, until the Gemara was Mechadish that even a conditioned the Araisa that can be Mafkiya. So Rashi says about this Pshat, the Tos Godel Hu Biyodom. He says, not only is this Pshat wrong, he says it's very wrong. It's big wrong. It's big. We would say it's wrong big time. Why? Because Rashi says the whole premise of Pshat is based on an absolute mistake. The Kedusha Kesef Deraisa Nenu. Kedusha Kesef is on a Derabbanan. We all get married with Kedusha Kesef. We all make Kaddish our wives with rings. We don't use Kedusha Diyah. So comes Rashi and says, to say Kedusha Kesef is Derabbanan doesn't make any sense. Why? How do you know that's Deraisa? The first sugi, Masechet Kedushin, says, what's the mocha for Kedusha Kesef? It says, Ki yikach ishisha. And it says, like, when Avram bought the field from Ephraim, Nasat the Kesef, Asat the Kach Mimeni. So the Gemara says, just as the word Kicha by Stay Ephraim refers to Kesef, so to Kicha by Kedushin refers to Kesef as well. So that's the Gezerish Shava. So what's the source of Gezerish Shava? So Rashi continues, the Gezerish Shava Besidei Nemra. Rashi says, the meat of Gezerish Shava is given to Moshe Rabbeinu. We say in the morning, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, we call the Chum Gezerish Shava, didn't they learn that from Gezerish Shavas, or didn't be Sinai? Of course they have the status of Dinim and Deraisa. So that's the first thing Rashi says. So to say that Kedusha Kesef is there, Rabban Rashi says is off the charts. And then Rashi says, the Chosin give me this. He says, not only is it Gezerish Shava Deraisa, anything that's learned out from any of the Yidgim Amidos is called the Diarais as well. The Ikidusha Kesef Midirabbanon, then Rashi brings another raya. And if you're really going to take, he's playing the devil's advocate, if you're really going to accept that, quote unquote, Shita, that Kedusha Kesef is Midirabbanon, Mikat Lina Navsha Alayu, the Baal Arusa Biskila, the din is that if a woman is an Eishes Ish, even if she's not yet Nesua, she hasn't completed her marriage yet, she's only at this early stage of Kedusha Nairisin, so she's chayav misa, she's mezana with somebody else. So what makes a woman into an arusa? So the Gemara's in the favor. If a woman accepts a ring, she accepts kiss of kedushin, so she becomes bekudeshes. If she would be mezana at that point, even before nisuin, so the Gemara says the favor, that she would be chayav misa. So how could you dechayv misa? We have a cloud. You can't kill somebody for violating the Rabbanim. Rashi says it's impossible. No way. No one would ever say such a thing. The Kedusha Kesef is on the Rabbanim. So this shita was absolutely rejected. There is no such a real shita that Kedusha Kesef is the Rabbanim. There is a Rambam in the beginning of Ishus that says something which is a little bit confusing. Some people misunderstood the Rambam. The Rambam uses a phrase that other Rishonim use in a different way called Divrei Sofrim. The term Divrei Sofrim, the Rambam explains himself in his Sefer Mitzvot what exactly he means. The Rambam says that there are certain dinim that are befeirish in the Torah, things that are mamish befeirish Torah shebichsav. So the Rambam says that's what's called Dvar Torah. Whereas sometimes if dinim, which we call the araisa, that means they have the same tokev, they have the same status as dinim in a Torah, but they're not explicit in the Torah. How do we know they're true? Because the Chacham figured them out. They had things, they were shavim, they had a kavchoy, they had something. They used the yudim umidus that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu to derive a new halacha. So the Rambam says that anything that's derived from something that the Chachamim figured out using the Midrash to address them, so the Rambam uses a phrase called Divrei Sofer. So the Rambam says in the beginning of Chos Ishus that Kedusha Kesef is one of those halachos that it's Divrei Sofer. So the Rambam Chas Shalom didn't mean to say it's Bidurabbanon. The Rambam never meant to say that if you're Mekadosh an Isha with a ring, so she's not really Mekadosh the Torah. If she's Mezana with somebody else, not so bad. It's not Chas Shalom. The Gemara says Beferish, that once the woman accepts Kedusha, she's a regular full-fledged Ishish Ish. No, there's no difference whatsoever between a woman who's Mekadosh the Kesef Ishtar Bevia. The Rambam just used a different category in describing that area of Halacha, like there are other than that we would call the Arayis, that the Rambam used the phrase Divrei Sofer. So the Rambam never meant to say the Rabbanon. The Rambam just meant to say that's not the Furish B'Tar, it's not the Furish B'Tar, it's not the Furish B'Tar, Kedusha Kesef, Kedusha Biyah says Beferish, Kikach Ishisha Uva Allah. So the Torah speaks about Biyah Beferish. Kesef is not Beferish. Kesef is part of the tradition of the Besar of the Tarshavata. So the Benayah slice at the bottom line is, notwithstanding this innovative pshat that Rashi says the Tos Gadol, Lamaisa, the Gemara does conclude that the Chacham do have the ability to be Mafkia Kedusha, both Kedusha Kesef as well as Kedusha Biyah. It's this principle of Hafkas Kedushin that may be behind another important halacha that appears in the end of Maseches Yevamos, in the fourth of the Maamar Kamos. The Gemara in Yevamos, the Mishnah in Yevamos, Kucha Beizim and Aleph, starts out with the following interesting story. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Kishiradati l'Nahardo la'Aber HaShona. Rabbi Akiva says, when I went down to Nahardo, I once traveled to Nahardo, I was in Bavel, to be Ma'aber HaShona. Rabbi Akiva at the time was involved in the calendar, and he was traveling to Bavel. Matzasi Nechemi Ish Beis Doli. He found, he met a man, one of the Tanoim, who lived in Bavel, Nechemi Ish Beis Doli. Omer li, and Nechemi said to him, Shemati she'ein masina se'isha be'eretz Yisrael, al pi eidechad el Yehuda ben Bavo. So the Nechemi Ish Beis Doli said to Rabbi Akiva, that I hear that in Eretz Yisrael they have a different practice than we have in Bavo, in terms of letting a woman remarry based on eidechad. If one witness comes and says that a woman's husband died, so normally we would think you require two eidim, api shenayim eidim yachum davar. So the practice in Bavo at the time was that even an eidechad would be acceptable, and the practice in Eretz Yisrael was not that way. In Eretz Yisrael, they always insisted on having to aid them at that point in history. So Nechemi asked Rabbi Akiva, is that really true? He said, Shabbat, I heard such a thing exists. Then in Eretz Yisrael, they have a different sock than they have in Bavel. I guess you shouldn't be surprised. Today also, you have different Hagim, different Sokim, different Shitas in Eretz Yisrael, or today, in Chutz Laaretz. So too in the days of the Gemara, you have different Chilukei Deis about how to paskin on this important Shaila. So Rabbi Akiva said, in Amesilo, I responded to him, Kein Advarim? He said, you're right. But there's only one Tana in Eretz Yisrael who agreed to what the Chachmei Bavel said, and that was Rav Yehuda ben Bavel. So Omar Lee, so Nechemi said to Rabbi Akiva, Amor lehem mishmi, he said, tell them the following. I'm telling you the following to repeat to them. Atem yodim shemedina mishubeshes begayosos. And he, according to some, at least Nechemi was explaining to Rabbi Akiva why he didn't bother going himself. Nechemi had such a great piece of information to tell the Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't he travel to Eretz Yisrael? He said it was too dangerous, he couldn't travel. But he says, when you go back to Eretz Yisrael, make sure to relate to the other Chacham the following. Bekublani mirabin gamlil hazokein shemasinas isha api eidechad. That he responded, he told the Nechemi, told Rabbi Akiva, that I have a tradition way, way back to the days of Rabbi Gamliel HaZokin. Rabbi Gamliel HaZokin was the grandfather of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was the older colleague of Rabbi Akiva. So this is his older colleague's grandfather, going back already a couple of generations. So Nechemi said that I heard from the name of Rabbi Gamliel HaZokin that the din is you can permit a woman to remarry based on Nei Dechot. So the Mishnah continues, So Rabbi Akiva said when he returned to Eretz Yisrael and he told Rabbi Gamliel, the younger Rabbi Gamliel, about the tradition and the name of his grandfather, he got all excited, he was all happy. He said, well, at least we found somebody who holds like our colleague, Rabbi Rabbi Baba, named him my grandfather. And then we told Chadava and Niskir Rabbi Gamliel. Then Rabbi Gamliel says, wait a second, I taka remember. I thought, okay, my grandfather was there. It was a while ago. So I taka remember that one time it happened, Shnega Arugim Tel Arza. There was once a case where they found several bodies of people who had been killed in a place, Tel Arza. He said, Rabbi Gamliel shall stand up here, Dechod. And Rabbi Gamliel, Hazok and Taskin, that you're permitted to let the woman remarry based on Nedecha. So Rabbi Gamliel, the younger Rabbi Gamliel, he was called Rabbi Gamliel the Yavne. He was the Rashi ben Yavne at the time of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Gamliel said, I remember that from my grandfather, that was the Psach. So finally, after this whole story, after the whole trip of Rabbi Akiva, Nechem ben Yisdali, and Rabbi Gamliel remembering, so finally, Luchsa Gamliel's Messiah and MEPA. So finally, even in Eretz Yisrael, the minute became to remake Kill. That's where we pass Kinat HaYamazah. We pass that you are permitted to remarry. A woman can remarry, even though Omi and Erechad identified that the husband had died. And this is the background, the historical background to the story. The Lamaisa, this is of course the way we pass it. So the question is, why? Why Lamaisa is that true? The Chari, the old knitting in Eretz Yisrael made more sense. The Torah says you need two Eidim. So what do you mean Erechad? How in the world can Erechad be acceptable? If two Eidim are always needed in all realms of Kedushin and Gevushin, we have a rule called Ein Davar Shebe'er Pachas Mishnayim. Any question involving a get or a kedushin always requires two Eidim. So how in the world did the Chachmei Bava win over the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael? What's the rationale? Why is it that you're allowed to remarry based on Ned Echad? So Rashi in the fifth of the Ma'amar Kamis, Rashi in Masechta Shabbos and Kuf Mem Hamad Beis suggests that the answer to this dilemma is based on Esugya. So Le'edis Isha, Lo'ima Le'isha Meiz Ba'alech, De'akilu Barabon Mishim Iguna. That the Chachamim were very makel to permit a woman to remarry even based on the testimony of one aid because of Aguna issues. We don't want the woman to remain stuck forever. But that doesn't explain. Aguna is just the reason why we have to look for a kula, but it doesn't explain what the kula is. So the kula is, V'chod Mekadesh Adayt Adir Rabban Mekadesh V'afkur Rabban L'Kedushim Minei. So Rashi introduces to us within the heter of Eid Echad the svara of Afkin Rabban L'Kedushim. Rashi says, just as in Yevamos Daf Tzadi, we saw that the Chachamim, when they felt there was a big need, they were willing to cancel Kedushim. Not that they could say that the get is kosher. The get is not kosher, but they could be mafkir the original Kedushim. So it's over here, the Chachamim can say the husband's dead. If the Torah says, Apishnayim Eidim Yavam Davar, if you don't have two Eidim, you cannot assume the husband's dead. So how can the woman be permitted to remarry if the husband's not necessarily dead? The answer is, we don't care whether the husband's dead or not. We're willing to uproot the condition. So we're going to go roundabout. We're going to circumvent the din of Eishes Ish. We can't create a Nisabal Yesh Me'ayin. If the husband's, as Al-Pi Din, we don't know the husband's dead yet. We don't have to aid him. Then we have to assume he's still alive. But the woman could still be married because we declared the condition was never chal. So that's Rashi's beer in the circus. According to Rashi, the Machlekes HaTanoim was, should we say Afkin or should we not say Afkin? And finally, the Chachmei Rava won out the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, and that's where we paskin, and we do say Afkin. So notwithstanding Rashi's pshat, that Afkinu, of course, the Kedushin, is the source for this din of Eid Echad being believed, the Rambam has an entirely different picture. The Rambam in the sixth of the Ma'amar Kamos, the Rambam, very uncharacteristic of him, the Rambam begins out Loch with as follows, in Perek Gimel Loch Chavtes, Al Yiksha Bi'Einecha. He says, don't ask the following Tasha. So very strange, really, the Rambam very rarely tells you what to ask and tells you what not to ask. The other Rambam says, don't ask the following Tasha. It's a bad Kasha. But it was a good enough kasha to dedicate an entire halacha to explain why it's not a good kasha. Al yikshir enecha, don't be bothered. Sheitiru chacham erva chamura, that the chamu will not be the most serious gili arayis and eishas ish, the eidus isho, evid of shivcha, that even if, not only is an eidecha good enough, but even if it's a woman she's accepted, or an evid, or a goy masich lepitumo, that even if a goy comes under certain circumstances, he would be believed to permit the woman to remarry. The abp aid, you can have one witness who didn't even see the dead body, he heard from another person. Or piyaksav, you can have somebody write a letter and sends in the postcard to Beis Din and tells it they saw the body. Uvalodurishivekira, we don't even ask any questions. Kosher Biyarnu says this violates all the Klom of Eidus. Said we can't budge in Ochas Eidus without two Eidim. They have to be Eidim Ksherim and Al Pishtaim Eidim Yachum Dava. They have to speak and they have to have Durishivekira. There are so many limitations that the Torah puts on Eidus before we accept the Eidus, and yet when it comes to permitting the woman to remarry, everything was Islam Shahaskabel. How could that be? So comes the Rambam and does not answer the way Rashi said Afkinu, but rather the Rambam goes a different route. Shalomit pida Torah al ha'adas shne edim ushamish be'edus. The only time that the Torah we really cared about the dinim of edus after the two edim and all the clone of edus, that this is something where we're really relying on the edim, and there's no way to ever trap to trick the edim up. If two edim walk at the basin and say Reuven killed Shimon or Reuven died on the house of Shimon, so we're basing ourselves totally on the edim, and it's going to be very unlikely for us to prove that they're lying. So therefore, the Torah says you need to. One is not enough. But if you have a situation where we can prove the aid is lying in a second, the aid yochli shamit in enadav emes. If the aid is going to be proven to be a liar, there's no way for him to get out of it. Kigon zeh shehayit shemesh ploni. If Reuben walks into the basement and says, "I saw Shimon's body," he's dead. So there's a very easy way to prove that Reuben's lying. If Shimon walks into the basement the next day, so but the Gemara says, "Baruch Baraglof," the person we thought was killed, is here he is. So comes the Gemara and comes the Rambam and says, "Look, pida teiralof." So the Torah was never mapped on the requirement of Eidus, what we call in Halacha Milsa David Ligluye, something that's easily going to be revealed. The Torah was never mapped to require to Eidim. Shadava Rachaku, Shiyoibo Eid Beshaker. It's very unlikely that a person would lie under those circumstances. Lafikach, it's the Chachamim, therefore the Chachamim were very, very natal, they permitted everything, because Shleish Agunos is Agunos. That the Chachamim didn't want that the Jewish women should be stuck, wouldn't be able to bring to Eidim if the husband died. And since the Torah anyway doesn't require to aid them, because it's what's called the Milsa David Ligluye, therefore the Chachmei Babel won out the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. So we have a very, very different approach to the Heter of Eid Echad by Misa Zabal. According to Rashi, it's based on Afkinu. According to the Rambam, it's based on something totally different. The Ravid, on the bottom of that Rambam, two ones on the bottom is a third approach. The Ravid says, "Shadavar Rachaku Shiyod Bo Zeshek." El Tichu Yechamid Avaz. Amar from Inami Hidayko Minso Rechomeshek Mela Besoifa. The Ravid says there's a totally different reason why the Chamu were willing to accept the Eid Echad, because the Eid Echad is most probably telling the truth. Why? Not because we accept the Eid Echad per se, but because we are relying on the fact that the woman's going to do our homework. She's going to really check up on this Eid. She's going to make sure the Eid is telling the truth. Why? Because if she doesn't find out that the Eid is telling the truth and really the husband is alive, she's got a lot to lose. Because the Mishnah says that we let her get married based on the Eid Echad, but we tell them as follows. If the aid is lying and you didn't double check with the aid and you didn't do your homework and it turns out your husband is still alive, then guess what? You will never be able to go back to your husband again, and you won't be able to remain married to the second husband either. Take to Mizer Mizer. We're going to force you to get divorced from both. That's going to be enough of an incentive for the woman to go the extra mile to make sure the husband is in fact really dead before she remarries. So the Ravid says that's enough of a proof, even though it's not Aiden, that's enough of a rove, that's a majority, that most women would never risk such a thing. She's going to do the extra careful checking out. So the bottom line is, Rashi had his unique understanding as to what's going on in the sugya. The sugya of Afkinu, the Chamor Mafkir, the condition, because of the issue of Agunos, so the Chamor Mafkir, the condition. Other Rishonim say the Lohi Yudvar Miyolim, that wasn't what it's based on, it's based on other reasons. So the post can point out that this concept of Afkinu, although Chazal did invoke it several times, some places Beferish, the Gemara Yavam Zatzari, a few other places in Shas, Tigmaz, in Ksubis, in the beginning of the set of Ksubis, a couple other places in Yavamos, but it's we don't find it all that often. It means you have many, many cases where the Gemara speaks about where we can't prove necessarily that the husband's dead. If so, in the end of Yavamos, that we can't even prove, we don't have any evidence that the husband's dead. We have the husband's time disappeared, we don't know what's going on. We don't find all of a sudden after inner abundant condition. We don't find the Chazal made a free for all, the Mafkiya condition all the time. Why weren't the Mafkiya condition all the time? Because that's a terrible mikshol. It's going to undermine the entire condition of Israel. Every couple's going to get married, and then next week the Chama is going to be involved in the condition. But that's not a good way to go. So obviously the Chama only Mafkiya condition, and very, very, very limited shas of chak that they felt that Chazal sized up with sufficient grounds to do this. The Haskam of the Poskim has been already for quite some time that we assume that we have no right to make up new cases, Bizman said. We're all of a sudden going to say that, well, we think that this we should be Mafkiya condition. So we're going to get all the Rabbanim in New Jersey together, we're going to revoke the condition right and left, So we don't have the courage to do that. We're not supposed to do that. We don't have the courage to do that. But this is something that the authority involves the condition for. We have a right to apply the cases that appear in the Gemara. If it meets the criteria of one of the cases in the Gemara, then the Chazal will misach that the condition is bottle based on Afkinu, wherever Afkinu works. Tanayi Afkinu is an Afkinu, whatever it is. We're supposed to time to make up on our own just cases of Afkinu that we have no right to do. That's the way we assume halacha. That's why this principle of Afkinu is sometimes misquoted by people. So it's an important principle in halacha. There are cases where it really does apply, but Chazal clearly were very, very limited. Their hands were they shook a million times before they applied the principle of Afkinu. You can count on the fingers of one hand all the cases of Afkinu throughout Shas. And maybe the eight echad is one of them, but that was not even. Most of the Rishonim probably don't even accept Shitas Rashi. So a whole part of the notion that we're just going to declare a Kiddushin to be non-existent, so that concept for the most part doesn't really exist. There is a concept that's also very often misquoted in the realm of quote-unquote Mafkiya Kiddushin. That's the notion of Kiddusha Tos. Sometimes there is a principle called Kiddusha Tos, that if a person gets married and there was a real Tos, there was a real mistake, so then sometimes we have a right to declare. It's not that we're Mafkiya the Kiddushin, that's not a Hafkas Kiddushin. That's just Chazal, that's just the Beis Din in that generation sizing up if there was a real bona fide Tos. But before you decide something is a Tos, you have to make sure it meets the criteria of what's called a Tos. Not everything is called a Tos. So a Tos in Halacha means that there was a mistake that the facts were present at the time and the person was being misled at the time. If a new problem crops up later, that's not called the Kiddusha Tos. That's called bad luck. But Kiddusha Tos means that there was some piece of information that was being withheld at the time. It also has to be a type of information that the person would really care about to such an extent that the person never would have gotten married based on that withheld information. So that becomes very, very tricky. So you have in the realm of Mechiras. If I sell you something, so not every mistake, so to speak, is automatically involved in the Mechira. But if I sell you a car, so I sell you a car and I forgot to mention the car that I don't know that one of the radio channels doesn't work, so you can't get Nachum Segal in the mountains. Whatever. One of the numbers doesn't work. So a guy's going to say, I bought the car. I never would have bought such a car if I would have known that I can't get 90.1 FM. Oh, because he was telling me this morning, that's what I remember. Yeah, I can't get 90.1 FM. I never would have bought the car. Ah, the car's working. The car's driving. So I'll survive. So I won't listen to Nachum Segal in Muncie. So, that's not enough. We have Atom and Mechira. Let's say I sell you a car, and I forgot to mention to you there's no engine in the car. So you start the car, it doesn't talk, there's no engine. So that's a pretty big Mechach Tos. So then you argue that's called a Mechir B'Tos. So when it comes to marriage also, so if a couple gets married, and the husband or the wife held back some information. So if it's a very, very small piece of information, they forgot to mention that, or they told the wrong thing, they said that their great-grandmother used a lace tablecloth or something, and that wasn't really true. So maybe some people ask silly questions before they get married, but most people wouldn't say, what? You told me the wrong information, we're getting divorced tomorrow. So most people wouldn't respond that way, most normal people. So that's not called the Kiddushin Tos. But let's say you find out some really damaging piece of information. Again, there's a stop right now. Say, Luya Tsuya, that the next morning she finds out the guy's been a drug addict for the last 10 years. He's been in jail for the last 10 years. And so maybe that would, and she never should know about it. So maybe that would be a Mechach Tos. I don't know. Again, I just threw it out as a radical example. So that's a very, very tricky situation. You have to figure out what's called a Tos of the Aloha, what's not called a Tos of the Aloha. Let's say things develop in the future, something develops in the future, that's not called a Tos. So the guy didn't have a problem now and then. So 10 years from now, he develops a drinking problem. So she says, if I ever would have known that in 10 years from now, he'll develop a drinking problem, I wouldn't have married him. But my sister told me he didn't have the problem. So that's not considered to be a Tos. So you have to be very, very careful before you can invoke that principle of Kiddushin Tos. So that's not, of course, Kiddushin. Sometimes people, you know, they say it will be Mafkiya Kiddushin. What they really mean is they're looking for a Tos in Kiddushin. To be Mafkiya Kiddushin, you got to have one of these wild cases of Chazal in order to apply the principle of Mafkiya Inu. Sometimes a situation will arise where you can begin to discuss the Tos in Kiddushin. So again, these are very, very limited cases because, again, we're dealing with, obviously, Summa Chamur B'Yoser. So before we walk around declaring that someone who we thought was an Eish Ish is no longer an Eish Ish, so we have to be very, very convinced that we're going with the right Mahalach and Halacha, either the Mahalach of Afkos Kiddushin, which is very, very limited, or the Mahalach of Tos Kiddushin, which is also very, very limited. So Kopanim, this sugya is a very important sugya. It's the background for some very important shahs that have been coming up and still continue to come up. So one has to try to get a little bit better understanding as to some of these principles before applying this Halacha.
Who has declared these things that Chazal came up with? Makos, Ben Yotha, Snuos, and Putzos, and
Yeah, what were these things? In what year, so to speak, did they decide? I think there are limited numbers. You count on your hand how many there are.
Right.
Was it at the time of the Mishnah? Was it 500 years before
the Mishnah? It's hard to know. It's very hard to know. The Rambam writes is that most dinim derabanan, we can't really pinpoint when when chachamim, when this beitin made this Mishnah beitin, this takana, takana. Every once in a while, the Gemara tells us David Melech made this takana, Shlomo Melech made this takana, beitin Tashmenor made this takana. But most of the dinim in the Shas are anonymous. So the Rambam says the reason is because it doesn't make a difference. Anything that was instituted from the days of Yeshua ben Nun until the days of Rav Ashi is all the same. Because the Bezin was functioning, the Torah's Bezin HaGavl, either form the Bezin HaGavl or quasi Bezin HaGavl, Chachmei Yisrael, whatever the Bezin Rav Ashi had the status of. So anything that was instituted al Chachmei HaGavl had the status of a Koch of Bezin HaGavl. So it doesn't really make a difference who instituted it. Anything after the Gemara, that becomes already a whole different ballgame. So the Rambam's like Dominic Bezin HaGavl. Okay. What happened?